Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. Please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com by going down the right-hand side of the page and entering your email address where it says subscribe to blog. Now, that's the way you do it, okay? And also, A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. We really appreciate people that do help us out by donating. Donations overall have been down so far this year, and I know there's kind of economic turmoil happening and people are struggling, but if anyone is able to help us through donating at our website, that is always very much appreciated. So now, today's show, I will be having John Haller, and I'm recording this retrospectively. I've already done the interview, which I'll play in a minute. And, you know, John and I don't fully agree on some things. And, you know, I think that's great that we can have a discussion and not necessarily agree on things. I'd appreciate if people would like this video and also watch it right through. Don't quit halfway through and get the whole perspective of John's opinion and mine and, you know, and respect that we can have different opinions on things and still remain friends. And so I think this is an important discussion, and I would really appreciate people, you know, watching to the end, and maybe you can give your feedback in the comments. Just try and do it in an amicable way and don't attack each other in the comments section, which often happens on YouTube, because obviously things can be quite emotive. People have different opinions on things, but I think Jesus would like us to do things in love always. So let's try and keep that in mind as we go through this video, and if you leave comments and so on. But please like it and share it. That would always be much appreciated. So I have John Haller with me today. And John, well, I guess the big topic is obviously at the moment the whole war with Iran, and we'll get into that. But welcome back to the show anyway. We haven't had a conversation for a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when the last time was, but good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm not sure either. I don't think we've done one this year, actually, maybe. Or maybe we did, yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to remember.
Yeah, it's been a while anyway. So, yeah, I guess the situation with the war in Iran, you know, I'm looking at it and thinking, you've got the war hawks that are, we had to do this, you know, the Lindsey Grahams, and then you've got a bully in the White House as president now, you know, doing the, instead of a peace president, he's now the war president, and that should have been obvious that was coming with the Department of War. And you've had then Joe Kent, I think his name was, resigning. And then now, so Lindsey Graham's coming out going, oh, anti-Semitic comments. And yet I didn't see any anti-Semitic comments. I'm just saying, he was just saying that the way he saw it, that this war was not appropriate, and that he felt Israel was pressuring America into it. And I don't see anything anti-Semitic in that, because it could well be the truth that there was pressure and maybe some blackmail, I don't know. But Lindsey Graham is obviously a war hawk, and everything is pushing for this war. I mean, I've never been anti-Israel. I'm still not. I believe Israel has a right to defend itself and so on. But attacking Iran, is that defending yourself? No, I don't think it is. I think Netanyahu is, and Trump, I still think, and you know, I've always thought along the way, these people are puppets. They're not the heads of anything. They're the faces, with controllers with much more power telling them what to do, calling the shots. And what I'm seeing right now, John, is COVID 2.0. This is being used the same way COVID was, except this time it's not a pandemic. It's a war, and it's an economic collapse being or economic crash. And we're being forced into this globally. Everywhere, New Zealand, for example, we've just introduced a similar thing to COVID, where we had levels 1 to 4, with 1 being the lenient and 4 was full lockdowns. New Zealand's now got the same thing for oil, we're only on level one at the moment, but we saw what happened with COVID. It can quickly escalate and into more controls. Australia is just introducing something similar. You see it all over the world. People are now looking at how are we going to stop this economic crisis. And, of course, it means less travel, less petrol, so on. European leaders and others are not prepared to back Trump at the moment with this Strait of Hormuz thing. And so it looks like full-on economic chaos, and I think it's by design, John. I don't believe any of this is an accident, and they're all scripted figures playing a role. Iran is not Iraq. It's not Afghanistan. If they decide to put boots on the ground, that'll be a further disaster. And I really think this war is crazy. And I know you'll probably have a different opinion, but I just see Donald Trump as, I've always thought this for years, he's a bully, he's an actor, he's put in the place to do what he's doing right now by people with more clout than Donald Trump. He just had the right personality to do this. And Netanyahu's hang on forever to fulfill the plan that they want for Israel in this as well. And I just see this whole thing escalating into like a sort of another COVID type global catastrophe. So in a nutshell, that's how I see it. There's more, but I'm sure you'll see it different. I'll be interested to hear your opinion. And as I said, I'm not anti-Israel. Please don't think I am, anybody. But I do think we don't need to blindly support Israel or the Netanyahu government or the Freemasons in Israel and the Kabbalists that are largely running things either. So God has a plan for the Jews being returned to the land. I fully believe that. But I don't think we have to support a state as such blindly either. So that's my opening statement. And John, you're free to disagree.
So first of all, I think it's a very complex issue, regardless of who or what is motivating or controlling people that are involved in the situation. The reality of the situation is that Iran is a supremely evil regime in the world. I agree with your statement, although I don't know if you would have gone to the next step, that Iran is not Iraq and Iran is not Afghanistan. I agree with that. I agree with that a lot, except that I think it's much worse than either one of those were. This was always going to be a very difficult thing to dial back what the Iranians were doing and have done. I mean, we're not quite, 2.5 years post October 7th in Israel. So I think that, we're about 2.5 years post October 7th when Hamas, who was backed and funded by Iran, invaded Israel and caused tremendous damage. That immediately led to hundreds, thousands of rockets coming from Hezbollah in the north, which is clearly a proxy of Iran, funded by Iran, controlled by Iran, directed by Iran. And so the question is, when you're faced with that, what do you do? Do you just say, well, you know, and I think, to be honest with you, Tony, I think it's a little bit simplified to just say, well, you know, they're just controlled. They're just trying to get this done. This ignores the absolutely undoubtful item that Islam is an evil, wicked religion. And we are being systematically invaded by that here and elsewhere. And everybody's got an agenda. You know, there were people want to change the demographics here in the United States. I interviewed a military expert recently. He was in London and he said, London has fallen. He grew up in London. He lives in Israel. And so I'm not sure what the answer was, but you've sort of seen a little bit of how the Islamic ideology of Iran works. As they're attacked, as their leadership is decimated, doesn't change anything. And now they're just going sort of apocalyptic. And at some point, this was going to happen. So I don't think it's fair to say, well, Trump was the trigger and it would all been fine if nobody did anything. That's just a completely naive and sort of, I guess I would say, ignorant way of looking at it, because that's not the case. So we have to deal with that ideology. And I know there's people that want to control things. I know there are people that want to collapse the economy and all that other thing. So I'm trying to look at sort of Iran a little bit in a standalone thing. And I just think we had a massive problem. They're sending cluster missiles into residential areas in Israel right now.
But they've only been doing that since Israel attacked them. So, I mean, I've seen...
Tony, that's just... such. They made the missiles to do that.
Yeah.
They had the missiles in their inventory to do that. And it's ridiculous to think that Israel should just sit back and let them fly and not try to take it out in advance. I don't understand that thinking, I'll be honest with you. I think it is so ideologically, factually naive that it's shocking to me. And so look, we can argue about what the proper steps would be. We can argue about whether, so listen, I just think that there is this notion that it's we in the West, it's America, it's Israel, is the only reason Islam is reacting. We've had 14 centuries of this problem. And I think it's going to come to head. Look, I think it's fits into Bible prophecy very well. Yeah. I think it's something that's coming to a head. I don't think we've seen the end of it. But don't blame the West for what they're doing. That's just a completely irrational response to it.
Okay. Well, maybe.
So we see how you disagree.
Yeah, and we can, you know, because I don't disagree with you on Islam. I don't disagree with you. I do believe the Iranian regime is evil. And there's no question about it. But we're not seeing it being overthrown. What we're seeing is devastation being caused around the world because of this war now. And so was that the way to deal with this, to go and launch a war that had to go this way? I mean, and we're not at the end of it yet. I think we're only at the start. And it's going
I agree. I mean, look, we're not even 21 days in.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse. I can see the economy getting worse. I can see, you know, the war itself is going to have to escalate because the Iranian regime's digging in. Now, in Iran itself, how many people actually support that regime and how many are anti the regime, we don't really know because there's no unbiased reporting that comes out of anywhere, whether it's the West or Iran. You know, obviously they're controlling the media totally there. And I have no question, I do not doubt you at all on the evilness of the mullahs and that whole regime there. But, you know, the end result of trying to do that, is it actually going to make things any better, or are we just launching ourselves into World War III because of it?
Well, I don't know, Tony. I mean, I guess would people be saying back in 1941, 6 months into, well, in 1942, 6 months into World War II, well, boy, you know, you haven't finished it yet. It's the nature of war. It's going to be time. And I don't know how the situation ever gets resolved without a war. But so if you want to know how many people in Iran support the regime, I don't know. You know, I have Iranian friends, Iranian friends that have been there, that have been imprisoned there, have been sentenced to death there because they're Christian.
Yeah.
So however many supporters they had in early January, you can reduce the number by 100,000 or 200,000. Because they're dead, imprisoned, or awaiting trial, or injured.
But do we fight a war against China because they oppress Christians there, or is it Iran because it's easier?
Well, it's incredibly naive. So, look, if China was making—I mean, we've got big problems with China.
Yeah.
And maybe this war is about China in many respects too, because of what China's doing. I think that that's some indication that. Venezuela and Iran was control to get control of oil that was going to China to fund their machine. And so it's very complicated. It's very complicated.
But see, this is my point, John, because now Iran will cozy up with China. They're saying, we'll let the ships through the Strait of Hormuz, the ones that are prepared to trade in Chinese yuan, not American dollars. So does this become a world war because of this regional war? That's my point.
Well, I think you need to do some looking into this notion of the BRICS and changing the world reserve currency. That's not as easy as it said. And even among the BRICS countries who have stated that as one of their goals, there's considerable disagreement as to how that's going to come about. So I don't know that that's, I don't know. China's going to do what China's going to do. Yeah. I just think that the issue vis-a-vis Israel and that type of thing has become incredibly divisive here in the United States. Yeah. And a lot of that is a demonstrably proven propaganda operation by people who want to divide American society and culture over that issue. Yeah. What I am seeing is absolutely shocking. So you mentioned Joe Kent the other day. I think Joe Kent is a big, fat coward. He served honorably. I don't have any doubt about that. And if he doesn't agree with it, he did the honorable thing in resigning. But you need to understand, his wife works for Gray Zone and Max Blumenthal, which is one of the biggest pro-Russian, Jew-hating organizations on planet Earth. So I think to say that that doesn't factor into it is, again, I would call that kind of a naive position. So I think that, so listen, I've seen a tremendous turn on the right in America with what is clearly a very sophisticated propaganda operation, like Tucker, Candace, Kerry Prejean, and many, many others, Steve Bannon at War Room and his crowd. It's a very complicated philosophical issue. That's separate and apart, by the way, from what do you do with Iran. I think that, from my take, when people say they want you dead all the time for 46 years, when do you start maybe saying, okay, well, maybe we believe them today, when they act on it all the time, when they make massive amounts of ballistic missiles? So listen, even now, the question is, can you invade Iran? My position is Iran is a very difficult, if not impossible, country to invade.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the end result of this is. There's some things that I would say are kind of encouraging about how they've systematically taken out layers of the regime. But I was saying, my concern was there were four options as to how this thing might go. One of those might have been marginally tolerable. This crown prince coming back and maybe leading a revised constitutional monarchy. The biggest concern, I think in terms of like, when I look at it from a Bible prophecy standpoint, I think it is very prophetic as to what's going on. And here we have waiting in the wings to move in. I'm doing a conference in Las Vegas this week, and I'll be talking about Turkey, because Turkey is literally licking its chops as to what's going on. And in one sense, Turkey's acting to protect itself, because if Iran melts down, there will be a massive refugee problem that's going to impact countries all over the world, regardless of whether those people are ideologically aligned with Western or Christian values, or they're just Islamist. And so, I kind of look at what happened in Syria. We had the civil war in Syria starting in 2011. That's clearly resulted in the deaths of over 1 million people and the displacement of probably 5 million more out of a population of 23 million. Iran is four times the size. So if Iran melts down and starts to fragment, you could have four times the amount of problem. I don't think anybody wants to see that. The problem is that the way to get there is a pretty rational way to get there, but you've got irrational mullahs in charge. And now as the mullah leadership is being decimated day by day, my concern was one of the options was that the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, would rise to the forefront and take charge. And I think we're sort of seeing that happen. And they may be, well, they're actually worse than the mullahs because they have weapons and military training and that type of thing. And so I don't know where it ends up. I know that, and there's a lot of follow-on with it that they're going to try to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. People are going to try to make them not shut down the Strait of Hormuz. The Arab countries that were a month ago telling Israel, don't you dare, are now fully on board with, seem to be fully on board with what Trump and Netanyahu are doing. That's kind of a big deal. It's kind of like one of these
but
things.
How
everything
long
changes
will
very,
they,
very quickly.
Will they still be on board with that if their oil infrastructure is destroyed by Iran? And, you know, which Iran is now saying they're going to do after what's just happened with their gas fields being decimated. So what's going to happen to the population of Iran if they have no power, no gas? Are people going to die en masse in these countries because of this? You know,
are you talking about attack on the Qatar gas refinery?
Yeah, and
I'm not even, you know, I there was kind of busy this morning with.
Yeah, I think they've just hit some gas fields in Bashir, somewhere there, the biggest fields. Oh. So that means, you know, that there's, you know, that's how Iran basically keeps its population warm and with power and all that. So if that's gone, and then Iran is basically going to retaliate by hitting oil fields in their neighboring Arab countries, which will then make it difficult for everyone else and for their economies. So all I see happening here is this is spiraling out of control, which was always, I mean, like back in COVID, John, Donald Trump in the beginning, well, let's just lock down, 15 days, let's stay home for 15 days and flatten the curve, sure, and then we'll go back to normal. So we start this first attack on Iran. This is just going to be a very short war. We'll be in and out 3 weeks maximum. Well, we're at 3 weeks now and it's not showing any signs of ending. To me, it's just like this is just spiraling into something way bigger that in the end is the result going to be worse than if they hadn't gone in and done this, or if they'd just done what they did in 2025 and just hit those nuke facilities again in Iran, just put their program back again. But to do this full-on crazy, to me seems like crazy war, which I can't see how it ends well, John.
So I guess the ultimate question is, how will you ultimately deal with Iran? I mean, look, we know what happened. And even when a fairly broad popular uprising, certainly in the millions of people in Iran, had just had enough. And they said, you know, so they took to the streets and they were slaughtered and they continue to be slaughtered in the streets. How do you deal, you know, in a world with that kind of regime? And look, I know there are other regimes that are as bad, but look, everybody gets their panties in a bunch about Israel, who gets attacked and going into Gaza, and they don't like what Israel did in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And I never hear anybody ever talk about the tens of thousands of people murdered on the streets in 2 days in Iran, and continue to be. It's shocking to me. So look, we live in a very divided world. I don't know what the actual answer to the situation is, but, you know, for everybody that wants to, wring their hands over what's going on, tell me what the solution was. Tell me how you deal with a murderous regime like Tehran without it. And so look, I you know, look, I know there's a lot of things. I'm actually doing a technocracy roundtable soon with the usual guys. And look, this is a big deal. We think this is part of it. But the question is, how do you stop it and how do you change it? And what's the answer? Because, you know, it's kind of this interesting paradox that we live in. We want to live in peace, right? But how do you get there? And is peace the bad thing, or is it the way to get there is the bad thing? And I don't know. I don't really know the answer. I know that my reason reaction is something needed to be done with the Iranian regime beyond monetary sanctions. That was not cutting it. Now, I think it's a dangerous precedent to set, taking out all the leadership. I mean, you know, so that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't tried that already. So I don't know. I think it's a, I'm not sure what the answer is. I don't want it to go on long. It may go on a long time. And certainly we live at a time where it seems like a lot of things are melting down in terms of the reaction to this. And, you know, are people going to lock down controls and stuff like this? I'll tell you this. I'm more concerned about what I see going on, for example, in the UK, where people, I see these videos all the time. My friends in the UK say this happens all the time. Somebody goes, a street preacher, to share the gospel, and he's arrested. And Islam are there praying in the streets and doing all their other stuff, protesting. And so we have this flip against values that we hold, that we think are important, like free speech and the ability to share your religion. And so it does seem like to me everything is sort of out of control at the moment.
I feel like Donald Trump is being used in this as a wrecking ball, and the peace answer will be the Antichrist, because I don't think Trump's it. I think he's the forerunner. But I can see people will blame, when this continues to escalate out of control, people will blame Trump and now blame Christians and say, you are the people that put this man in office. And so the backlash will come against all of us, whether we agree with Trump or not. And that's what I see as part of
it. Guess I have a problem with is nobody ever says a word about the evil mullahs in Iran. It all gets turned on Trump, who in many respects is actually trying to do things to help, maybe not in the right way, and I don't think he's a great guy or anything. I did vote for him, but I don't agree with everything that he does. As I've said many times, I'm transactional with him. There's things he's done that I can't stand. But I know that the answer on the other side of our politics in America was not what was being done in the three Obama administrations. Yeah. But the question is, I guess it bothers me that I get in conversations with people and they only want to talk about Trump and Israel. They never talk about the other side of the issue. It never comes up. Unless you raise it, and then you raise it, well, you're just an uncaring person, and that's just complete nonsense.
I mean, I don't disagree with you on the mullahs being evil. I mean, there's no question about that. But the question is, I guess, what gives any other country the right to take over and try and destroy a regime? Like, if you're going to do that in Iran, shouldn't we do it in North Korea, and shouldn't we do it in China, and shouldn't we do it in a number of other countries as well? Because why Iran? I know Iran's proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas are evil and have done, you know, untold amount of damage as well. But I just don't see that this war is going to fix any of that. That's my position on it. I just see people are dying anyway. And people are going to have economic pain over the whole world. And is it going to fix any of it? Is it going to change the regime in Iran? And if by some chance it does, what's going to replace that regime in Iran? And when you look at the Shah previous, I mean, that before this regime, they weren't exactly saints either. And so,
well, I think if you unpack the historical facts involving that, you will come to a little bit of a different conclusion. It's been much worse since the Mullahs took over in 1979.
Well, I'm not questioning
much
that.
Worse.
Yeah,
by a exponential factor.
Yeah.
So I think that history gets rewritten and everything. And so, look, I'm spending some time with some friends from Iran, one of whom was sentenced to death for being a Christian in prison for a while, was sort of miraculously able to get out of the country, get out of prison and out of the country.
Yeah.
It probably colors my reaction to it. So in this world that we live in, it does seem like things are coming to a head. I think we can all agree on that. And I have a personal view that the ultimate solution to the problem is the return of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
But if anybody thinks that that's sort of a peace and, flowers coming out of barrels of guns and type of thing, I think they haven't read what the scripture says. And I'll look forward to that. I don't want that. Okay, but also know that it's got to come to a resolution at some point. What we've seen so far is not a resolution. I had a conversation recently with somebody who said, well, the only reason that the Muslims are upset are because what the United States did in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's just
that's nonsense.
Just moronic. Yeah. It's just a moronic comment that somebody makes. Yeah. They don't understand the nature of the beast that is being dealt with. And then you layer on top of that other problems as well. And there are people that, but look, I see people making that I would be aligned with on a lot of issues, but making what I would consider to be bad arguments about what's going on. So for example, we know that oil gas is used in the production of fertilizer. So I saw one fairly well-known commentator saying, it's going to be a famine this year. Well, I don't know that that's correct. I mean, most of the planting in the northern climates, the fertilizer's already made in stock and, you go down to the store and pick it up. It'll affect it down the road if they can't catch up in production if this thing ends. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that the United States has attacked military facilities for the most part, military intelligence facilities. Naval and that type of thing. I don't know that we've been going after oil facilities and that sort of thing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the developments of this morning because I was tied up on some other things. But the stuff I'm seeing is that Iran attacked natural gas facilities in Qatar.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because Qatar and Iran share control of the largest natural gas field in the world, in the South Pars field in the Persian Gulf. So, and that's always been kind of a dicey thing. And I don't like Qatar either. I mean, they're a pretty evil, wicked regime too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's sort of like a whole lot of people that I don't like out there right now. What can I do? I can say whether I agree with it or not. You just kind of got to deal with what comes your way. And I see a lot of people culturally here in the United States that are doing a lot of really evil things. I mean, just plain evil. So at the one hand, you don't like Trump, but then there are people who are really undermining anything they might do that's good. So because he does do some good stuff, but look, I don't like the technocracy thing. I talked about that. I don't like this Board of Peace thing. Not a fan of that because of the people who are involved with that and the sort of the economic deal-making aspect to it that I just don't think is appropriate. you know, and I see a lot of changes coming in currency and that type of thing. And I see the Trump family appears to be actively involved in that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Well, another thing is this whole, the war has been great timing to distract people from the Epstein files. And so everyone basically moves on from that, and all the people, these perpetrators, which are massive in a lot of countries, Israel, America, Britain, you name it, New Zealand even, in these Epstein files. But of course that disappears now, so nothing will come of that. And the war's been a perfect distraction for that. But I mean, as far as things go,
a lot of those cases are 10 or 15 years old. There's been plenty of time to bring them to the fore. And I've always said those cases, to the extent that they're sexual abuse of young children, which I don't doubt occurs. I'm just saying, from a legal standpoint, as a lawyer who's kind of investigated things along those lines, they're incredibly difficult to prove under the best of circumstances. So the files are out there. They're still out there. People can still go through and look and find what they think. It's impacted the careers of a lot of people, some of whom may not have actually been guilty of anything. Mm-hmm. Others who have been guilty of things have walked away unscathed. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that this war was started to distract from that. I mean, I think we need to give people enough credit that, hey, maybe you can think about more than one thing at a time.
No, but I do think it's convenient that it happened at the same time. I'm not saying that the war's all about that. But yeah, just say the other thing. You're in Israel right now. Like, I saw a clip the other day, someone in Tel Aviv standing in front of bombed out buildings, very annoyed. This was a Jewish person with the Netanyahu regime, and saying, we're being lied to. This stuff isn't being shown. This is like a replica of the Gaza Strip. And so if Iran full on launches all their drones and things at Israel and does a ton of devastation over the next few weeks, especially if they start running out of, you know, like the drones cost $10,000 to make or whatever and millions to shoot out of the sky. So they've still got enough of these that they relentlessly do that and create enormous damage to Israel that way. Have they gained anything by this war? Like, the war was to stop Iran doing this, supposedly, isn't it? But it's happening anyway. So, and when we've heard since the 1990s that Iran was just weeks away from a nuclear weapon. I remember in the early 2000s, Netanyahu with his map with a picture of a bomb, and yet they haven't had a nuclear weapon and they haven't used one. And it's like we're kind of, it's like the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It's always like, well, this is why we've got to do this. But we haven't seen any evidence there's a nuclear bomb or even a close to a nuclear bomb in Iran yet. So what's the real motivation behind this war? What is it, if we strip away all the propaganda from every side, what are they actually trying to achieve out of this war?
Well, I think the best goal would be some kind of regime change that is not oriented the way the mullahs are. But again, that was always going to be a bit of a pipe dream. I mean, look, they've decimated the leadership of the regime. They decimated the leadership of Hezbollah in Lebanon. The Lebanese government came in and said Hezbollah is illegal. Yeah. They came in and said, you know, you can't, Hezbollah, you can't do this. And the leadership was, I mean, you know, we had the pager attacks, we had other attacks on Nasrallah and all the leadership. And so now what do you have? I mean, they're still doing it, you know? Nobody went and attacked them on October 8th in Hezbollah. Hezbollah started firing rockets. So how do you deal with that? And it's been a longstanding problem. And I think, you know, you maybe not as much in New Zealand because it's a smaller country. You know, we live in big America and we think, oh, you know, that's far away and we can deal with it. But in Israel, it's not far away. It's the next hill. And there's not even, when you get into the central highlands areas of Judea and Samaria in Israel, often called the West Bank, you know, there's no separation between the enemy and you. And it's right there. And so it's this massive, I do think Jesus comes back and solves the problem. Ultimately, in the meantime, we got to do the best we can with the facts that we're dealing with. And there are going to be people who are going to step in and try to take advantage of that and take control and that type of thing. I'm well aware of that. But, you know, I think that the Islamic system of finance and money and control and everything is probably worse. You know, that's just my view. I didn't like the early 2020s. It was not pleasant. But we survived. But there's a lot of fallout from that. I mean, we see friends who have health issues.
Yeah.
Clearly because of that. So I don't know. You know, and I was sick with that thing many times.
Yeah.
So seemed to get better each time. But so I don't know. It's a very complicated world. And yeah, so, you know,
it is.
I don't think it's a, it's kind of a, you're going to shove it off and say, well, what did you think the end times were going to look like? So here we are, we live in this time and it's a very disruptive time to live in. There's no doubt about that.
So what about, you know, the difference between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and you've got the Arabs and the Iranians. I mean, so Islam is divided against itself at the moment as well, in a sense. But I mean, if this devastation continues and economic fallout continues, meanwhilst the technocracy is being developed, to me, it just looks like the perfect opportunity for somebody to come out of this with a peace plan and a deal to fix everything. Which maybe that won't happen, but that could be how we see the final Antichrist arise on the scene and take.
So I think if you watch Turkey, I think I'm going to be talking about, I talk about it a lot because I think it's very significant in terms of the world we live in and Bible prophecy and how it's going to play out. And over the past couple of weeks, who's been one of the ones pushing, we need to have peace, we need to have brotherhood of mankind and all of that stuff? It's Erdogan of Turkey.
Mm.
And if you look at, like, his foreign minister is now putting on his profile page on X this picture of Turkey that's expanded to cover Europe, Central Asia, and Greece, you know, down into Northern Africa. Because that's his plan, ultimately. That's what he wants. He talks about it all the time. But now he's an opportunist. He says, oh, I want peace. We need to all get along and we need to support the rights of the Iranian people. So ultimately, when you strip things back, the problem is, and this was a problem when they started this, if the Shia is compressed and tamped down, the Sunni's going to rise up and fill the vacuum. And I think we're seeing that happen. And so ultimately, I don't think it's any better at all. They believe in a Mahdi. They believe in an ultimate control caliphate just as much as the mullahs do. The mullahs the Iranians put it in their constitution. But the real imam, the real supreme leader of Iran, I think it's Article 5 of the Constitution, is this Mahdi guy.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Turks have done that, but they sure talk about it all the time, and they talk about movement on Jerusalem. Can I just say one thing? I know we're kind of running short of time. You need to watch this. David Wormser, who's a security expert, I think he lives in Israel now, I don't know. He's Jewish. But he said that what happened back when the fall, Damascus fell to the jihadis in December of 2024, just a year and 3-4 months ago, that was a very significant thing because it was the first time that Sunni Islam had gotten control of its ideological and political capital of Damascus in over 1,000 years. So that was a very significant event that I think a lot of people have glossed over. So look, as Iran diminishes, Turkey's going to rise. I think that's more how it plays out in our Bible prophecy timeline. And I don't like that stuff. I prefer that it not happen that way. But I think we're sort of on track that it sure seems like it's happening. And it may have happened whether anybody planned it or not. It's just people responding to things, and it happens.
So
I don't know.
But then, as Christians, then isn't it more important that we're more worried, should be more focused on people need to get saved, people need to hear the gospel, people need to find Jesus Christ, rather than us trying to decide we need to follow this leader or back this country or that country in the war, or, you know, are we barking up the wrong tree by taking sides politically, secularly? Are we better to just pull ourselves back from the whole thing and just go, people need to be saved. Who can we reach? How can we show people this is end times prophecy happening? And the Bible teaches and tells us this is going to happen. Jesus told us these things were going to happen. Jesus didn't say, you've got to back Donald Trump, or you've got to back Kamala Harris, or you've got to, you know, support Netanyahu, or you've got to support the opposition to Netanyahu, or whatever. It's like, are we just as bad if we're getting too involved in it and saying any of this, we've got to take sides? Because, isn't it more important about people finding the truth of the gospel, no matter what the world is doing around us? And then we're better. I'll let you, finish with that and maybe and tell people where they find you online. And I've really enjoyed talking to you today, John. Even though we've not totally agreed on things, I think it's been a great debate. And it's been, to me, I've loved it.
So there's always this tension, and maybe it's because I'm getting older. I see more friends passing on, and know that life is pretty short, and we're not guaranteed any time. And for some reason, I seem to be reminded of it almost every day. So the tension we have is between just sort of resigning ourselves to live with it or trying to influence it. So I don't know where the sweet spot is. I think you need to act according to your conscience. And ultimately, God's going to sort it out anyway. I do think that, and I know this is someone who I've wrestled with this a long time, Tony. 25 years ago was 9/11. I remember being on plane shortly after that and thinking through, what would I do, if somebody tried to take over the plane? And I've been involved in discussions, and I said I probably would try to take out the guy who's trying to take over the plane if I had the ability. And people go, oh, well, you prevented that person from becoming a Christian. I'm like, no, I've allowed the 160 other people on the plane to maybe have that chance. It's one of those, it's a horrible calculation to have to make. So I don't, I sit here personally as a Christian and a Bible believer and everything. I don't mourn the loss of the mullahs, because ultimately I know what they're going to do and what they've done in the last 2 months. With their own people that everybody else in the world, I hardly hear it talked about at all. I see what they do to people. I see what they do to women. I've had personal testimony from people that I trust. And so anyway, it's a very difficult situation. God says that he raises governments up to do, to kind of keep the peace or to provide order. Certainly we're not in that providing order stage right now. I don't know how we get over this hump, because everybody, even if Iran starts to work out the right way, you still have Turkey and all of those other countries. And we know in Bible prophecy that they come against Israel in these last days. And and we're watching sort of these things unfold and get ready for it. So I don't know what the answer is. I know that God has a plan. We're in it. And I think you just gotta act with your conscience and do the best you can under those circumstances. Look, everybody got upset with the state-approved treatment for this Charlie Vector thing. I mean, did we just sit back and take it? No, a lot of people stepped up to the plate, and it seems like there's some traction in getting that thing dialed back. I don't know if it's stopped. I mean, the people that want it are going to still push it. But you just let it happen, or do you get involved to resist it? That's always the tension. Is what's the appropriate action?
Great.
Look, a guy, very prominent in the Epstein files, very prominent software company owner, or used to be an owner, huge foundation. How much damage do we allow him to do before we do something to stop it? That's always the tension. And then how do you go about it? So, but I will say this. Been alive a long time now. I see more tension, disruption than ever. Really do. And I pray that the Lord returns and cleans this up soon, because I think, like a lot of other people, I've had enough. But until then, I'm still stuck in this world, so I got to figure out what's the best thing for me to do. So anyway, if people want to see me, fellowship at Fellowship Bible Chapel on YouTube, and then Real FBC on Rumble, and then my personal social media is usually John Haller 54 on X, True Social, Telegram. I think on Getter it's John Haller 1954. I don't post that much. I do most of my stuff through video.
Well, that's great. Thanks, John. That was a very good points you made there at the end too. And I really do appreciate you sharing your opinion today. And it's great that as friends we can have slightly different opinions and still, debate them and still stay friends. And I think that's people need as Christians to take out of this is let's not divide amongst ourselves over things. Other than let's try and be united as much as possible in our faith and love and have different opinions and still be able to remain friends as much as possible. So, John, I really do appreciate it. And
thank you, Tony.
We should come back again soon and see where this has gone in the next little while. So, cheers. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.